This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Another thing now is the Hajj. The Hajj is coming up very soon. In about just over a month, the Hajj is there. We're already in the months of Hajj, as they call them. From Shawwal, after Ramadan finishes, the months of Hajj start, which are called the Ashhur al-Hajj, the months of Hajj. So anybody that has an amount of money by which they can pay their expenses, go for the month of Hajj, buy a ticket and pay for their hotels or whatever it is, and have enough money to also for their people that they leave behind, their dependents, to be looked after, then they must go for Hajj. Now, when it comes to women, the Hajj for women as such, I think it's very important that we understand this, that when it comes to the pillars of Islam, when it comes to the obligations in Islam, like the individual worships, for example, Salat, Zakat, Hajj, right, fasting, the husband in that case doesn't have a say in that, right? The father doesn't have a say in that, in the sense that if he's stopping you from praying, right, if they're stopping you from praying or for going for Hajj, right, that is the one case where you don't have to listen to them if they are being unreasonable about it. What that means is that if a woman has sufficient money for Hajj, right, it becomes an individual obligation on her. Then the only other obligation she needs to fulfill is essentially that she has a mahram to go with, which means an unmarriageable kin or her husband. So if her husband is willing to go with her, or if her husband is not willing to go with her, but her father, her brother, her son, mature adult son, right, adolescent, then she must go, right? Even if the husband says, no, you can't go for Hajj, then it's still her obligation to go, because if she dies, she will be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's only in this case, right? That's only in these cases of obligation. Subhanallah, it's something that obviously you don't play it in some wild way. You have to actually deal with it in a way of wisdom. For example, if the husband is saying that, look, we won't go this year, we'll go next year, and I'll come with you as well, then fine, you know, maybe you could delay it until next year, because that's the best mahram you could take if nobody else is prepared for you, right? But for example, let's just say your father or your brother, right, and his family is going, or your son wants to go, you've got an old enough son, but your husband doesn't want you to go because he's going to miss you, then you don't have to listen to him. Obviously, be nice about it, but nice and firm, because at the end of the day, you're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, separate from your husband on the Day of Judgment, right, for the sake of Hajj and Salat and so on. Yes, when it comes to Nafl worship, right, when it comes to a Nafl Hajj, an optional Hajj, after you've done your Hajj of Islam, then it's not the case. Then your husband has a veto right in that sense. He shouldn't stop you from going. He should be encouraging each other. But then that's a different situation. When I speak about that, it's your obligation and you must go. That is the one Hajj. That is the first Hajj, that وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. That people have to go for Hajj. It's an obligation upon them, those who have the ability to go. Then that is what I'm speaking about. The first Hajj, the Hajj of Islam. This is if you have enough money, right? If you have enough money and you have somebody to go with, right? That is a mahram of yours. Remember, in the Hanafis, Malikis and Hanbali school, women are not allowed to go for Hajj on their own or even with another group if they don't have a mahram with them. There is a leeway or a concession within the Shafi'i school only, right, where if they don't have a mahram to go with, but there's a large group of trustworthy, reliable women who are going, and some of them have their mahrams, then they can go with them. But this is only in the Shafi'i school. But you can understand the obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that case, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what the imams have understood from what the Shafi'i scholars have understood, is that the obligation of Hajj is so important that they can even overlook the mahramiyya issue, as long as there's still some safety in going, because it's so necessary to go for Hajj. So really think about that. I know there are women out there, you know, we know that. There are women out there who have the money because maybe they've inherited, maybe they've worked, right? Maybe they've got, you know, from wherever they've got their money, right? They've got enough money. They've got 4,000 or 5,000, right, to be able to go for Hajj. But their husband is being lazy about it, or maybe he doesn't have enough money, right? But their father is going, for example, their family is going, their brother's family is going, right? then they should really do this. But again, do it wisely. Do it wisely, but be firm about it. I'm not encouraging disobedience here, because it's not disobedience. It's just, but just do it wisely. That's what's most important. So the Hajj is very important. The benefits of a Hajj are just huge, right? And you've probably heard about that. We will be having a Hajj workshop very soon for those who are going. But this is now the time to make your decision and to go and sign up for a Hajj package. I know it's expensive, but it doesn't seem like it's going to get any cheaper. In the last several years, it's just been going up. I mean, I remember in 2001, my Hajj was done for including tickets from the US, right, where the tickets are much more than from the UK because it's that much distance extra, right? I probably did my whole Hajj for about $1,800, which is about £1,200-1,300, right? The entire Hajj, that includes the ticket, that includes, lodging, boarding. You know, okay, we didn't stay in the top hotels or whatever, and, we were a bit careful about that, but it's just gone a huge amount more now, right? It's five times as much or something, or four times as much. But it's not going to get easier. You're not going to get younger, and you're not necessarily going to get more healthier. All right? So you need good health, or the best health that you can. Younger is better because you've probably got more energy and more health. And right now, it's probably the cheaper, as cheaper it's going to get. Things are just getting more expensive. The predictions don't seem like things are going to get cheaper. Petrol is going to get higher. That ticket cost is just a huge amount. Then people down there are becoming a bit more capitalist in their approach to these things. They're monopolizing certain things, and it's not going to get cheaper, right? And the main thing is that even if you have a huge amount of money, you're not necessarily going to be more healthier or younger to be able to go. So really try to go. And the other thing is that, subhanAllah, the amount of benefit you'll get in this from this Hajj is huge. It's just absolutely huge. And the reason for that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises many things there. For example, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, he looks at, actually, Fudayl ibn Iyad. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, he saw Sufyan al-Thawri during Arafah, during the days of Hajj, that he is standing on his knees, and he has got this look on his face, and he's entreating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's humbly entreating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says to him, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak says to him, that who do you think is the worst off today? Who do you think is the worst off today? And the reply he gets is that the one who thinks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forgive him. That is the worst of the people there, the person with the wrong thought. That's why the wrong thought, if we have the wrong thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't think of him as generous enough, as forgiving enough, then we're to blame ourselves, and it's to our own disadvantage. Because what's expressed there is that the worst of the people is the one who thinks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forgive them. Which means that everybody who thinks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive them, those are the people that will be successful. And that's why we must have a good opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not feel that we're not religious enough to be able to go for Hajj. You know, we're going to wait until we become more religious. That is the place to become more religious and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for piety. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that ability. Another hadith of Tirmidhi and Sunan Nasa'i mentions that do Hajj and Umrah over and over again. Follow it up one with another, because it removes poverty and sin. And that's just such a juxtaposition, it sounds, because it shows that you've money to pay 2,000-3,000 for a Umrah, 3,000-5,000 for a Hajj, and it's saying that it's going to remove poverty. You just see this large chunk of your money, right, that you've saved up for a long time, suddenly go. But what's been told us to us in this hadith is that it removes your poverty. And subhanAllah, that trust must be held in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That is where the reliance and trust comes. You will get your money back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. I've seen people for years and years that they go for Umrah or Hajj often, and they don't make so much money. And there's other people who can't, even though they have a huge amount of money, even though they express the desire to go, but their will is not there, right? They just think certain things, like, I'm not going to get off from work, right? Although they will if they really push it, but they just don't want to seem like a fundamentalist or something. They don't want to seem like seem like a religious person as such. So they're not willing to go and say, I need to take off. Why? Because I need to fulfill my obligation. It's a time when I can't normally take off, but I really need to go. They just don't want to show themselves out to be religious. And that's really sad, because then 5, 7, 8, 10 years, they haven't been for Hajj. Yet they've got the ability to do Hajj every year, for example. Right? Good paying jobs and the rest of it. So really, this is not something we can slack off in, because it is a pillar of Islam. This is not just an additional worship. You know, we're not encouraging you just to do extra nawafil a day or keep fast every Monday and Thursday, for example. This is an obligation. This is a pillar of our faith, right? One of the five pillars. And if one of the pillars is missing or it's weak, then it's that our structure of iman is drooping. It's weak, right? It's lopsided. It's just not right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. And there are numerous stories that women are the ones who are helping their husbands. They are the ones who are causing them to think in the correct way. And it's happened many times. Sometimes the man, he's got so many things to think about, right? That he comes home and is just totally restless, totally undecisive about something, totally concerned and worried. The best partner and wife is the one who will calm them down, make them see some sense. And subhanAllah, women have done it over and over again to the best of men. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right? It was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had gone to perform a pilgrimage, but they were not allowed to go inside Makkah. This was during the first several years in Medina Munawwara. They were prevented from going into Medina Munawwara. So he was told that he decided to tell a Sahaba that, look, we can't go in. Let's break our ihram, nullify our ihram. They had actually already entered this state of ihram. Let's break it, sacrifice our animals, and let's go back. So he still has his ihram on. He's telling everybody to do this. Nobody's apparently listening to him, because they're thinking that maybe he's going to do it, maybe something's going to happen, maybe we're still going to be able, because they really wanted to go to the Kaaba, they really wanted to go and perform the pilgrimage. So the Prophet ﷺ started getting worried, because he's thinking that if the Sahaba don't listen to me, that's going to be their destruction. He goes back into his tent and his wife, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, is there, and he tells her about, like, these people aren't listening to me, what's going. She said, look, you go and end your ihram in front of them. When they see you do it, they'll be more than happy to do it. He did exactly that, and they ended their ihram. So now you can see from this that it's the best of man. But sometimes that is the relationship between the husband and wife, the pious relationship, that they can encourage each other. That's why the hadith mentions about one partner waking up the other for tahajjud. Right? Encouragement, because the thing about a husband and wife is that they're supposed to be the couple together in Jannah. So you want to encourage each other so we can both be in Jannah. And that's what it is. May Allah give us all the tawfiq.